So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, or turn it on, whatever you've got to do to get to the Word of God. And Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 14. And I wanted to ask you this morning, you know, daylight saving time started last night or ended last night. I get confused about me and my wife sat down for dinner last night after trunk or treat, and we were sitting there eating, and we were both talking about it being later than it really was. And I said, hey, wait a minute. It's fall back and spring forward, right? She said, yeah. And I said, well, this is fall. This isn't spring. We're not going to lose an hour. We're going to gain an hour. Praise the Lord. You know, I got an extra hour of sleep today. But let me ask you a question. In saying that, there's people that will tell you that you need to set your clocks forward, you know, or backwards, whatever the case, at 1 a.m. Does anybody in here get up at 1 in the morning and set your clock? I mean, we've got these gadgets that we carry around in our pockets that do that automatically. You know, I can see what time it is. It does it without even me thinking about it wanting to do it. It does it. And if it don't do it, then there's something wrong. It ain't updated correctly. Okay, so, but the subject that I want to talk on or preach on this morning is the Lord coming back. And everybody's got a different view of when the Lord's going to come back. And, you know, He promised that He would come back. And He gave us signs and He gave us things. And that's what the Olivet discourse is all about. Because His disciples wanted to know. They was really regretting that He was leaving. And they didn't want Him to leave. But they knew He was going to. And they wanted to know when He was going to come back. But He focuses on parables to in chapter 25 of Matthew, He focuses on parables so that we would know what to look for and the fact that we need to be ready and looking. And guys, I'm telling you today, in our culture, you know, I could read you all kinds of things, and I thought about doing that, but the fact of the matter is, I don't know when He's coming back either, but I know He's coming because He has promised to come, and He's gave us opportunities, okay? So in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, read with me there. It says, "For it's just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went and put them to work and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, 'Master, you gave me 5. See, I've earned 5 talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy.' The man with 2 talents also approached. He said, 'Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy.' The man who had received the 1 talent also approached and said, 'Master, I know you're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' His master replied to him, 'You evil, lazy servant. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I returned. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he who has more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good for nothing servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And Father, this parable and others like it, Father, used to really worry me and scare me, Father, as a young believer. But Father, you are a gracious God. And Lord, you don't ask us to work for our salvation. You provide that for us. And Lord, I just pray today as we look at what we're entrusted to do. Father, I just pray that you would just guide and direct us. And Father, help us to be the servants that earn doubled what you gave them. And Father, I just pray that if there's one here that's buried their talent, Lord, I just pray that they would just see that you've entrusted them with that. And Father, if they will trust you to help them, Father, through the Holy Spirit, they can accomplish great things, and it could even be doubled or even more than that. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct us and just help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when I used to read this as a child or even as a teenager, I would think, why in the world did that guy just get one talent? That wasn't even enough to worry about. Why was the master so upset about the guy that just buried his talent? At least he didn't spend it. He didn't waste it. He didn't do anything with it. That he wasn't doing anything necessarily wrong. But, you know, a talent is, according to scholars, say it's about 20 years' wages. One guy said it could be up to $1 million. Well, I don't know about you, but $1 million in my eyes, that's a lot of money. And just even if you just had 1 million, that'd be enough to do a lot with, right? Okay, so one guy got five, one guy got two, and one guy got one. And it says that he distributed those according to their ability. You see, the master knew them in a very personal way. And Jesus Christ knows every one of us in a very personal way. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So we need to rely upon him. I want to bring out another point, is the fact that none of these guys argued about what they got. They took it and they went and done what they done. They didn't compare themselves. And this is really spoke to me, because I compare myself to other pastors and to David Brown a whole lot, because he's my senior pastor. Me and him are co-laborers. He never says I'm the lead pastor of Hillcrest Baptist Church to me. He says, hey, what do you think about this? Because this really matters. He says we both think on equal terms. We share the ministry. That's what we do at Hillcrest Baptist Church. And now that Steve's here, that just divides it a little bit more. And I'm excited about the fact that I have a pastor that does that, because he's my pastor, but I can be a pastor for him as well. He's not over me, I'm not below him, and he's not below me, and I'm not over him. And it's just one of those things in life. But none of these guys compared themselves to one another. Now, in saying that, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And everything that in James 1:17, it says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like sifting sands. Guys, God knows you. He equipped you for where you're at today. He knew where you was going to be at today. He knows where you're going to be at 1 year, 5 years, 10 years from now. He knows where you're at. And he's gave us all abilities and talents and opportunities to do the things that we do. Here in America, we have opportunities that a lot of people don't have through getting to play into our government and vote and do the things that we do. A lot of countries, you know, don't have that opportunity. And that's an opportunity that we need to take to help direct our country. And you've got that ability, but an opportunity. But sometimes we don't use that opportunity. I don't want to say this too loud, but my mom and dad didn't vote very much when I was a kid. When I got married to my wife, politics became real important for some reason. It became a household thing, because her dad would not accept the fact that you wasn't going to vote. You were going to vote. I think he would have hog-tied me and took me to the deal. And went in the booth with me if he needed to, okay? But we have abilities, gifts, and opportunities and circumstances for every person. He graciously assigns responsibility according to how he knows us. And I want you to think about that. If you are calling Jesus your master, if you're calling Jesus your Lord, if you're calling Jesus your King, then I want you to put that in those terms, in this parable, because truly that's what Jesus is saying. Yeah, it was $1 million. Every one of us, even if it's just one thing that Jesus wants you to do, then it's worth doing for His kingdom. Because He has gifted you to do that one thing. It don't matter what it is. But they didn't compare what they done. The one with the five, he went out and invested. And guys, I don't think it was something that he just made one really good investment. I think he had to work at it. We have to work and challenge ourselves to do the things that we need to do. Sometimes we get really tired of it. But is it worth what God assigned as your ability or as your gift or as your talent? You know, if He's gifted you musically, you need to use it for the glory of God. If He gifted you financially, you need to use it for the glory of God. If He's gifted you, however He's gifted you. You know, people say that I can talk to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how scared I get before I witness to somebody? I'm saying, Lord, please, just give me the right words. Lord, help me to open my mouth so I can actually talk to this person about Jesus Christ. Because there's a fear there, and Satan does that. Just to let you in on a little thing on down here a little ways. Well, look at why the servant with the one talent didn't invest. So the guy with two, also, he went and doubled it. I don't think it was something that he could do. But none of them compared themselves to the other. In John chapter 20, 21, Peter wanted to know what was to happen in John's life. Jesus had just told John, or just told Peter that he was going to go, he was going to be bound, and he was going to go where he didn't want to go, and that he was going to die. And he looked around and he saw John. He said, well, what about John? And guys, there was a great rumor that Jesus says, what is that to you if I want him to live until I come? Basically, he was saying, don't worry about John. John's got his own life to live. You serve me. Okay? And that's what he says to us as well. You know, in Mark 10, 35 through 45, and I'm not going to read all that, but just to paraphrase it just a little bit, James and John wanted to ask to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus. Why? Because they wanted to be above the other disciples. They wanted to be at the right and left side of Jesus Christ with Him ruling. They wanted those special positions at Jesus' side. And we all desire better things in life. But don't get so frustrated with stuff. See, they didn't quit being disciples or apostles because they didn't get that. Jesus told them, that's not for me to give. So as we go through this, I want you to realize that as human beings, we have that. But with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can overcome that. So it says for a long time, the master left for a long time. And the age that we are in right now, we're awaiting our master's return. We're waiting for Jesus' return. We don't know when that's going to be or how that's going to work. But we do know that He's coming back because He has promised. And He gave us things to look at. And you look at the way the world's going. You know, the Bible says in the day of Noah. In Matthew 24, 36 through 39, it says, now concerning the day and the hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son except the Father alone. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of Son of Man will be. For those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away that this is the way the coming of the Son will be. So we don't know when Jesus is coming back. But we do know He's coming. The master gave them those talents, asking them to do what He wanted them to do with it. They were put in charge. And I think of Joseph in that. You know, Joseph in Potiphar's house, there was no one greater except Potiphar himself. Not even his wife was greater than him in his life. So, Matthew 25, 19 through 21, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts. The man who had received five talents approached, presented five more talents, and said, Master, you gave me five talents. See if I've earned five more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. share in your master's joy. You know, that's the one thing that I want more than anything in my life, for Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We say that over and over and over again. But guys, are we really about the Father's business? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Because all of us have the same opportunities to witness to people that's around us each and every day. And if we really thought that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, who would you go grab and try to tell about Jesus? If you thought that He would come back 2 weeks from now, how many people would be on your one list that you would go visit? If it's a month, if it's 2 months, who would be on that list? What would you do to reach them? What kind of resources would you do? You know, we all have vehicles and we all go our separate ways. You know, I can remember a time when we only had one vehicle, and but you know, that's never been true in my married life. Me and my wife has always had two vehicles. And if we didn't have two, we went and borrowed one so we could have two. Most of the time we don't even like to come to church together because she's ready to go home and get dinner ready because kids are coming, and I've got stuff to do here until a certain time. So we don't even ride to church together. We need two vehicles to come to church on Sunday. But I'm saying that, wouldn't you use that to go tell somebody about Christ that you know that needs Christ, or somebody to visit somebody that's sick that needs encouragement, or somebody that has their spouse has passed away and you might make a change in their lives? I don't know, but that's just one of the things that I think of that God has given me that I can use for His glory. And there's so many of them. He's gave us a great church family. And He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. Do we even understand what the joy of the Lord is? I don't think we can even comprehend it. I don't think I can even understand. I can't wrap my little finite mind about the joy of the Lord, what it really is. I can't. I'm so excited. You know, we went to Silver Dollar City a couple of weeks ago with the youth, me and Jim was wandering around by ourselves because we just kind of let them go, and we said, okay, you're responsible enough to go and you meet us back here at this time and we'll be okay. And they all came back. Believe me, I got them all home. Okay. But I had one group that was kind of fighting and bickering among themselves. And so I got to hang out the rest of the day with them. But before I went with them, me and Jim went and rode the wooden coaster at Silver Dollar City. Thunderation, right? I knew better than to get on that stupid thing. That is the roughest dang coaster. I come home with a back problem. I didn't go there with a back problem, but you know me, I wanted to be one of the cool cats, and I wanted to say I rode roller coasters. There was one right next to it. It's called Time Traveler, and it's, you know, goes all the flips and all the stuff, and then it spins on top of that. And I'm like, nah, we're not going there. But you know what? I would have better off to ride that thing. After I looked at it. Now, the line was 20 minutes long. Or 40 minutes long. I think it's 40 minutes long. I thought, I'm out. I don't like to stand in line. But, you know, as you stand in line, you have opportunities. I just gave a couple of gospel tracts to a couple of little kids. They didn't even know what they were. The mom was so involved with her three kids that she didn't. And, you know, they're just a little thing that I love to do. You can ask my wife. I do it every time. But, and if it goes to a gospel conversation, I welcome that. And I hope to one of these days to hear what these first two servants said. In Matthew 25, 19, 20, so on, it says, after a long time. So, you know, they had a long time to get this done. So skip down to Matthew 25, 22, and 23. The man with the two talents also approached his master. He said, Master, you gave me two talents. Can you just imagine the enthusiasm? Master, you gave me two talents. See, I've earned two more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy. See, there is no division. He gets the same answer as the guy that earned five. The guy that earned two gets the same joy of the Lord that the guy that earned five. He knew their ability. He knew what they were able to do. And he entrusted a lifetime of opportunity, talents, abilities in each one of these guys. And I look at myself, am I a two-talent guy, or am I a five-talent guy, or am I the one-talent guy? I don't care what talent I've got. I just want to use it for Jesus. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do in every area of my life. My marriage, my father, being a grandfather, being a pastor, being a youth leader. And I get to do that full time. I would have never dreamed that God would bless me to be able to do that as my job. People, some of the kids, when they come and start coming to the church, they actually pay you to do this? Yeah, it's, I don't know. But God commands them to do it too, so. All right. Sometimes I wonder if I earn my keep, but that's okay. Keeps me honest, okay? Then we come to the guy with the one talent. And I don't think he was near as enthusiastic as the other one. Guys, I want you to realize that he didn't just stop living life. He didn't want to be disobedient just because he wanted the master to have what was his. But he didn't know the master. See, this is the problem. In Matthew 25, 24 through 27, the man who had received one talent approached and said, "Master," listen to what he says about the master. "I know you're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown, gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid." Keep that in your mind. "And went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." His master replied to him, "You evil, lazy servant. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gathered where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I return." Folks, how do you see Jesus? Because at one time I viewed Jesus as somebody that was harsh, that he was unfair. And I could go to church as much as I wanted to. I could try to do the things that he wanted me to do. But I never felt that he really loved me. See, this guy didn't know his master. And scholars will debate whether this guy, this outer darkness that he's talking about, some translations say cast him into outer darkness where weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some of them say just outer darkness, and meaning that he didn't get no reward. And I'll let you decide. But I'll tell you this, this is the way I feel about it. Every time it says in the Bible that they're cast from outer darkness, they're separated from God because there is no darkness in God. Okay? That's the way I look at things. God says, the Bible says God is light, and there is no darkness in him. So if he was cast into outer darkness, that means he was separated from God. And if you're separated from God in eternal life, then you've went to hell. Separated forever and ever. How would you describe Jesus to someone? How would you describe Jesus to someone? "Jesus paid it all for me. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He took my punishment upon himself for me and for you and for the whole world." But see, I've received that. It's by grace you're saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I don't earn it. These guys wasn't earning their salvation. They wasn't working because they needed to go to heaven. They was working because they loved their master. But one of them feared. How many times in the Bible does it say do not fear? 365 times. Why is that? Because there's 365 days in a year. And we're getting real close to another year being the end. And God tells me not to fear. I hope it wouldn't be like this servant described the master. Because he was calling him dishonest. He was calling him harsh. And he was scared. Listen to what Jesus said about himself. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." When you think about Jesus giving up everything that he has and stepping down out of heaven upon this earth, living a human life, being born as a baby and growing up and giving up the all-knowing. You notice in one of the scriptures that I read up above that he said that even the Son of Man does not know when he will return because he gave up being able to know. When he stepped down into earth, he gave up the ability to know all things. Now, there were several times in the Bible that he used his ability to know, but he gave up the ability to know, and he didn't need to know at that point because he had to trust God just like you and I. He had to trust the Father just like you and I have to trust the Father. Listen to what he said in John 10:11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd has laid his life down for the sheep. So, we can bury our talents. But delayed obedience is disobedience. And disobedience is sin. I'll say that one more time. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And disobedience is sin. Have you buried your talent? Have you buried what God wants you to accomplish in your life? Have you buried the fact that He has called you to reach a certain amount of people in your life? Have you buried the fact that He wants you to share the gospel? He wants you to know Him personally? Have you given up the fact that I can't understand the Bible? You can through the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. And if I can understand it, and He'll reveal it to me a little at a time. And it's like food, guys. If we don't take it in, we're never going to be able to give it out. If I didn't eat for a week, what would I look like? I wouldn't look like this. I like food. I like God's Word. But I have to make myself read it sometimes. It's kind of like, spinach or cabbage or anything like that. Now, you don't have to make me eat cabbage anymore. I kind of like it. But used to, you can get me to eat it. Give me the meat and potatoes. That's what I wanted. So the judgment. All of us want to hear the words of Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many. How many of you think that when you get to heaven, you're just going to go up there and you're going to sing around God's throne? Is that what you got? You're going to play. I've always dreamed of playing an instrument. I'm trying to learn how to do that right now, but that's hard. I ain't got the talent. I don't know how. I look at Steve Minow, and think, wow, that guy don't read notes and he can play anything. But God gave him that ability, that talent. Can I work and learn? Sure I can. Absolutely. If I want to learn bad enough, I can do it. What's it going to take? It's going to take a little practice. But every one of us wants to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And we're going to be rulers and we're going to do things in heaven much like we do right here. I think. The youth does all the time. Well, is Fido going to be in heaven? I don't know if Fido will be there, but I think there's animals in heaven. Jesus comes back on a horse. I'm okay with that. I can find another Max the Basset Hound in heaven. It may not be the Max I had, but it'll be a perfect Max. And Max is far from perfect. He likes skunks really well. And my wife likes to let him in the house. Well, I shouldn't say that. She don't want to kick him to keep him from getting in the house. Okay? He's learned when I come to the door, he's a smart dog. When I come to the door and say no, Max, that's what it means. He'll get the boot. Sometimes I think Jesus tries to, He disciplines the ones He loves, guys. He tries to help us along the way. He tries to encourage us. The judgment of the one that buried his talent. Verse 28 says, so take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Wow. Why didn't he give it to the one who had 2? I can't answer that question. Does it really matter? So now he has 11 talents. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and there will be more than enough. And he says in verse 30, and throw this good-for-nothing servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing teeth. The third servant put aside what God had given him, went about his own selfish business, and he called himself a servant of God, demonstrated conclusively that he was not. He was not the servant that God wanted him to be. You may be sitting in this church service. You may be watching online today, and you don't know whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell, whether you've really, truly received Jesus Christ. You know, my encouragement to you is to get it right with the Lord. Acknowledge Him as Lord of your life and treat Him so, as He is the boss of everything that you have. He's entrusted you with it. You can do what you want to with it until He comes. And then you're going to give an account. And every one of us is going to stand in account of God, what we've done in this life. Now, is your salvation going to be secure? I have no doubt where my salvation's at. I'm going to heaven. But how I used His stuff that He gave me is a whole nother thing. Okay? Delayed obedience is not disobedience. The thing of it is, our Master hasn't returned yet. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this day. I thank You for each one that is here. I thank You, Father, that You give us opportunity to come to know You in a personal way. And Father, that when we get through this life and when we have come to the end and we get to stand before You, Father, that shouldn't be such a fearful thing. Like the last servant, the one that had one talent, he feared You. Lord, we ought to have fear, but we ought to rejoice in the fact that You are coming. And Father, that we get to share with You what You've done through us. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that You would just guide and direct, Father, each one. Father, if there's one sitting in these pews that doesn't know where they're going to spend eternity, if there's one here that knows that they've delayed in doing what You want them to do, I pray that you would just convict them, and Father, that they would make things right with You. And Father, they would make it known to what You would have them to do. The Bible says that that we cannot be silent. You say in Your word that if we're ashamed, that if we're ashamed of You, You'll be ashamed of us. So Lord, I just pray that if there's one here that feels called, Father, to the ministry, Father, I just pray, Lord God, that they would take that step of faith. Father, if there's one here that needs to accept You as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would do that. If there's one here that needs to pray for someone that they need to go to and just talk to them about their salvation, Lord, I pray that they would just acknowledge that You'll give them the power and the opportunity to do that very thing. And Father, I just pray that they would come and pray for that person. Lord, as we just have an altar call, I just pray that You would work. In Jesus' name we ask it.